going on, Cubs fans? This is the Locked On Cubs podcast. You can find this on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am one of your co-hosts, Sean Sears. Ryan Davis not here. He is actually in St. Louis for NBC Sports covering the Cardinals-Cubs series, so shout out to Ryan. But joining me today is a fellow Locked On Podcast Network member, Matt Peck, also my co-host of 312. Peck, what is going on, man?
Sean, boy, good to talk to you, man. Happy Friday. I feel weird. I feel like, okay, we're going to talk some baseball right now on the Locked On Network, but I got to record a Locked On Bulls episode later today.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's going to be a nice warm-up to do the real thing, but happy to be here with you on Locked On Cubs.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course, we're happy to have you on as well. You've got an exciting Locked On Bulls podcast. We don't want to give it anything away, but first going to have something about being Texas forever.
What? Yeah, let's just say we have an interesting guest coming up on today's Locked On Bulls, and if you are a fan of a certain TV show about high school football, you might want to tune in.
Sounds like Zach Morris coming on the podcast. Just kidding. We've got an exciting Cubs podcast for you guys today. Of course, we're going to recap yesterday's win against the Arizona Diamondbacks, a walk-off win that Peck was actually lucky enough to be in the bleachers. We're going to get Peck's take on that. Of course, we're going to talk about this Cole Hamels trade. In case you didn't hear, Cubs traded for Cole Hamels from the Rangers. We'll get into the details on the trade and then, of course, break it down and share each other's opinions and get all in our feelings about it. And then the third and final segment, of course, we'll finish out with some NL Central talk. So, Peck, you were at this game yesterday, freaking out in the right field bleachers. First off, did you get anywhere near Anthony Rizzo's homer? Were you thinking he could maybe get to it? No?
No, I was actually in the left field bleachers, I'm usually a right field bleacher guy, and I was actually wearing my right field bleachers t-shirt in left field, so I felt kind of weird about that.
Right.
So, no, I didn't get anywhere near Rizzo's homer or David Bodie's, unfortunately. But, you know, there were a lot of kids in our section, so had I been lucky enough to get myself a ball, obviously it was going to go right to a kid because I don't want to be the next social media victim of, oh, you jackass, you took this baseball, you didn't give it to a kid.
Oh, my God, dude. And you look at, like, how that story, like, just got completely overblown into something that it just never was.
Yeah, such a sign of how social media works today.
Right. No context. Assume everything. Yell at everyone. No friends ever. Yeah, it's ridiculous. of course.
Those home runs were just awesome, man. I mean, the place was electric because it looked like the Cubs were going to crap this one away. You know, all of a sudden they were down 6-1, 6-2, whatever. And just one of those magical days at Wrigley where stuff happens late in the game.
Of course here. So if you guys weren't around for the game here, I can give you guys kind of the play-by-play here. Essentially, the Cubs knocked in a run. Kyle Schwarber scored, I believe, Contreras in the second inning to give the Cubs a 1-0 lead over Zach Godley. The Diamondbacks stormed back. Alex Avila, I think, hit a 2-run home run off Tyler Chatwood, who surprisingly was not very good again. It's weird how that happens.
Yeah,
Brian
six
Dunson.
Walks yesterday?
Yes. Just quickly, Chatwood's line yesterday, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 6 walks, 4 strikeouts, the earned home run, of course, only made to 92 pitches. Tyler Chatwood officially has walked more batters than he has struck out by like 6 now, so that's fun. We can talk about that in a little bit. Going through this game again, Brian Dunson came in to relieve Chatwood. Didn't do much better. Nick Ahmed hit a, I believe, grand slam. And the Diamondbacks jumped to a 6-1 lead. Rizzo and El Mora knocked in a couple runs. They make it interesting. I think it eventually jumped to 6-4. And then it stayed that way till the ninth when the Cubs scored 3 runs. 2 of them coming off a David Bodie home run, which was awesome to see. Of course, filling in for Chris Bryant, and then Rizzo stepped up and hit the walk-off dinger. So what was the over? So first off, I feel like the Bodie and Rizzo home runs happened so quickly between each other. Like, what did you guys even have enough time to, like, celebrate Bodie hitting that home run before Rizzo won the game?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, we were going nuts out there in left field when Bodie hit that one to tie it, and I was there with my buddy and his dad, and I turned to both of them. I was like, all right, like, Rizzo hasn't hit a homer in over a month. Like, we are due for a Rizzo walk-off. Like, it's gonna happen. And, like, before I even finished the sentence, it was like Rizzo, it was first pitch, right? Rizzo took the first pitch out. Yeah, I was just like, boom, crushed it. As soon as it left the bat, it was one of the ones where you could tell on this day it had the height, it had the distance, it was going. Hadn't even finished celebrating Bodie's dinger to tie it up, and then the place just went nuts. Because obviously everybody in that ballpark was saying, all right, this is the moment where Rizzo breaks right. that home run slump.
Yeah, interestingly enough, you'll never believe this, the Cubs' winning percentage jumped from 58% when they tied it to 100% when Anthony Rizzo hit that home run. So, I mean, hey, safe to assume.
numbers never lie, man.
Yeah, hey, man, you just got to look at the stats. But take a look at this game. Of course, Chatwood, not great. We talked about that already. Brian Dunson, once again, struggled as well. Jesse Chavez, though, this dude coming from Texas has been a stud. I think he's retired 13 straight batters for the Cubs. I think six of them have been strikeouts. He's been a stud, and honestly, it sounded like he was kind of a lost cause until about Mother's Day. He apparently changed his arm slot. I don't know. He's been a huge acquisition here for the Cubs. Eddie Butler comes in and gets the win, which is interesting because he was included in the Cole Hamels trade. was part of the players that I was not expecting to be in there, but I'm excited because the Cubs get to keep DJ Wilson, who's one of my prospect sweethearts. So, but yeah, big win for the Cubs. Huge win. They improved to 16-42, split the series with Arizona. Great news. They're heading to Arizona, or heading to St. Louis here. Quickly, Peck, I know we kind of talked about this yesterday in the podcast, but Chris Bryant going down, how much does that hurt your heart?
Yeah, I'm terrified and just trying to be as optimistic as possible that this is something that we can get cleared up for when the games start to really matter in September and then ideally into October, assuming the Cubs manage to either hold on to this NL Central title or at least make it in as a wild card. Looks like odds are pretty good for that right now, unless, you know, catastrophe happens. I mean, Chris Bryant, Cubs aren't winning anything if Chris Bryant is not Chris Bryant and his normal self. And we've kind of had these lingering issues with him all season long, and shoulders are tricky. Like, not quite as concerning as back injuries to me, or obviously for pitchers it's elbows, but shoulder injuries have a tendency to linger and never fully resolve themselves. So, like, that's why I'm trying to be patient and optimistic about when we're going to see KB again. But you never like it when your best player and a former MVP goes to the DL. There's no two ways about that. It's bad news.
Yeah, there's no way to spin it. It's bad. And it just seems like the way the Cubs have handled it. I know Ryan has talked about this a bunch in the podcast. He just felt like it was kind of botched, which is interesting to see from this Cubs front office. But you hope he comes back soon. Unfortunately, it seems like it might be a lot longer than a 10-day stint for Chris. So good news is David Bodie swinging a hot bat. Bad news is he's not Chris Bryant. So
no. But, I mean, as far as being called up, whatever, like 12 hours earlier before the game started, huge game. Not only did Bodie hit that homer to tie it, but he was 2-for-4 at the plate on the day and also made some huge plays at second base, like great defensive plays. There were one ding in particular that was just out of this world.
Yeah, he had some really impressive plays in Iowa this last week, too, before he got called up. He played shortstop for them randomly, which is interesting because the Cubs have, like, two shortstops on that Iowa Cup roster. So it just speaks to Bodie's ability. They clearly feel more comfortable with him there. But, yeah, he's a stud. There's no way around it. David Bodie's an impressive piece. I'm glad the Cubs aren't trying to trade him, especially now with the Bryant injury. So, let's jump to the second segment here and talk about some Cole Hamels baseball. Okay, for people that have not heard yet, of course, the Cubs have acquired Cole Hamels. News kind of was sort of squeaking out a couple days ago about something about Cole Hamels and the Cubs showing some interest. And then today, or yesterday, just kind of broke. I think it was John Morosi and Mark Sandstein, or whatever, Sandstein, I don't know, whatever. People started talking.
Not going to work here anymore.
Yeah. people started breaking the news. Ken Rosenthal came out and said that, you know, there was more interest, and now we finally officially have the trade package of, I believe it was, it's Raleigh Lacy, which just sounds like a name that came from the 1920s. Eddie Butler, and then, of course, a player to be named later. Peck.
I'm 90% sure Lacy has a porn stash based on that name.
Yeah, right? Like, I just think, first off, I hear Raleigh, and all I can think of is Raleigh fingers. Second of all, I think of most, like, greased up spinning mustache. But Cole Hamels, a guy that I think a lot of people are familiar with. What was kind of your impression as the news kind of broke that the Cubs were trading for this guy?
Yeah, so, I mean, my reaction was, okay, the Cubs got somebody.
Right.
And not just somebody, a name. Cole Hamels is definitely no spring chicken. He's, what, like 34 at this point?
Yeah.
And has had himself a rough season so far in 2018. But he is another guy you add to this Cubs pitching staff that has World Series and MLB playoff experience.
No.
And I think that matters. It also, you know, it's not a terrible thing that he is a, you know, a former teammate of Yu Darvish, who has certainly not made a million friends in his first season in Chicago, and people are really concerned about Yu Darvish's mental health in addition to physical health. So I think getting Cole Hamels in the fold helps with that, hopefully, assuming we do get Darvish back into this rotation at some point too. And I think also the bad numbers for Hamels this season are a little overblown, especially when you look at his home versus road number splits.
Right.
Like, that ballpark in Arlington where the Rangers play is like a hitter's paradise.
Mm-hmm.
So his home ERA is humongous and like 6-something, but his road ERA it's like 2.3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, his home ERA for the season is at 6.43. His ERA for away, 2.93. So pretty impressive.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot better. I think it puts it into perspective a little bit. I am worried about how much contact hitters are getting on him this season. And, I mean, you could probably speak to that more than I can. I mean, is velocity become an issue for Cole Hamels?
So, luckily for Cole, I mean, his velocity dropped a little bit last year, but he's at about where he was last year right now, about 92, 93 miles an hour. His big issue right now is he's got a home run fly ball rate of about 20%. The league average is about 10. Really good pitchers have, like, from somewhere between 7 to 6. So 20% is massive. 20% of fly balls are leaving the park is home runs. So that's ridiculous. He's got to figure that out. But everything else, peripheral stat-wise, like you said, his road stats are impressive. He's got to get the ball on the ground more is basically his issue. But if you look at just some of his soft contact rates, he's doing a good job there. He's striking out close to 9 batters per 9 innings. He's eating innings. The biggest thing for Cole Hamels is he had a really, really bad July. Before coming into July, he had an ERA of 3.61, 97 strikeouts, and 97.1 innings. You know, pretty solid. And I honestly, you look at those numbers, and I'm not too worried about it. I think, you know, one way or another, I think he'll probably right the ship more than likely. I just, you know, even if he doesn't, the biggest thing is he's going to eat some innings. So I'm excited for it. We'll have to see where exactly it fits. Now, of course, the thing you've got to worry about, you know, of course, Yu Darvish still on the DL. Sounds like he's away for a little bit. After, you know, we talked about this on our podcast last weekend, it sounds like Darvish might be gone for a little bit longer, too. His injury is kind of, you know, up in the air. But what do you think of the idea of the Cubs maybe going to a 6-man rotation when he does come back, him being Darvish?
I mean, yeah, that's a good question. I feel like it's one that Cubs fans drive themselves crazy talking about constantly. And the name usually that Cubs fans are talking about in recent seasons and this season also is Mike Montgomery when you're talking about a 6-man rotation. I just think that that's not really realistic for playoff baseball. I don't think that really works. I think you go down to 4 as opposed to up to 6 from the normal regular season rotation of 5. We were just talking in the first segment about yesterday's game and Tyler Chatwood and the fact that, you know, his not yesterday, but the start before that, he made it through, you know, 5 1/3 innings on one hit baseball and looked pretty decent. But he's walking guys like crazy.
Yeah.
Like Yu Darvish is its own concern. And if whether or not he's actually going to get healthy enough to be a part of this rotation come playoff time, I have so little faith in Tyler Chatwood right now. That it's like right now I see Cole Hamels' arrival as a Tyler Chatwood replacement to the starting rotation.
Yeah.
And then in certain times when you need it, in the dog days of August, you can use Montgomery as a spot starter because he's always excelled in that role.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. I mean, I mean, Chatwood, like you said, he just can't find the strike zone on a consistent basis, and he doesn't seem to have control over his breaking balls, his fastball. He can't seem to locate. I mean, like, he almost walked the pitcher yesterday to load the bases. Like, it's just like, come on, man. Like, put the ball in there. You know, like, you're throwing to the pitcher. It's nothing to be worried about. But yeah, he just it's just something about Chatwood that I just can't seem to – it just doesn't seem to be clicking. It feels like his mechanics are always different. I don't know. It's just not right. But yeah,
Dude, he walked the D-backs pitcher yesterday. I mean, come on. Who walks a pitcher?
It's just like, come on, what are you doing?
The answer is Chatwood, because Chatwood walks
out. Chatwood will walk out of anything. but yeah, he's just bad. He's bad. Taking a look at the rest of this rotation, though, I do think, at least for the regular season, I wouldn't be opposed to a six-man rotation. I think that would be ultimately the goal of what the Cubs are trying to do here, because I don't think you can take Montgomery out. I don't think you can necessarily just pull Chatwood out and make him a long reliever, and he's going to be effective in that role, too. I mean, clearly, if Chatwood keeps pitching the way he is, he's going to be left off the playoff roster, and they'll add another reliever. Because they'll have clearly five guys that can start if they need them to, including Montgomery. I don't know. We'll have to see, though. But I'm just glad the Cubs needed to get a starter that's going to eat some innings, take some pressure off their bullpen, and, you know, hopefully maybe have a little bit of upside. And I think that's exactly what they get with Cole Hamels. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's the Cubs were kind of – we were sitting here waiting, saying, all right, we know that they're going to try and add some pitching help to this team before the deadline. Still, which is what, like 3 days away? It's July 31st,
yes.
Right? So, like, do you think they're done? Because, like, I know for the first parts of the big, you know, the big names moving around, the Yankees adding an arm and the Red Sox adding an arm, and do you think that this Cole Hamels move is enough? Do you think that Theo and Jed are still working on something else?
I feel like they have to be. I don't know. I just don't see how they can just be done, especially with so much time between now and the deadline. I think they want another reliever. As great as Brian Dunson was last year, I think this year he's proving that he's not very reliable. So I think they want another reliever. I don't think they necessarily care if it's lefty or righty. There's a guy in the Padres named Kirby Yates. He's having a pretty solid season at 31. He'd be a guy I think the Cubs could be interested in. Brad Batch. I always forget how to say it. I always want to say Branch, but it's without an N. It's B-R-A-C-H, Branch. He's a good reliever. He's a guy that's also been kind of linked to the Cubs a few times with the Zach Britton rumors or whatnot. Someone like that, maybe, particularly if teams are going to sell low on some of these guys. That's what the Cubs are looking for. They're looking for another Chavez-type guy, but preferably lefty, I would assume. But I guess if you – ideally, what I could also see the Cubs doing is if they did want to keep – all five of their relievers plus, or five of their starters plus Cole Hamels on this rotation now. I mean, technically, they could just replace Montgomery with Dunson, or replace Dunson with Montgomery, keep those starters, including Chatwood, and find a way to be creative with these guys, maybe. I don't know. But right. I think another reliever's coming.
I mean, I would hope so. And all, like, if Montgomery is not on a playoff roster, I don't know what the hell.
He will be.
And, I mean, would you rather see him in that middle reliever role come playoff time, or would you rather see him in the rotation?
So Ryan and I talked about this a couple times, and it's always, you know, if you have a really good reliever but an okay starter, you take the okay starter because that's more valuable, essentially, through how long they're going, the innings or whatnot. I think –
well, and especially this Cubs rotation that has just been crushing their own bullpen all season long with these short starts.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, clearly, I think you got to keep Montgomery in this rotation. The issue is, though, I just don't know if anyone else in this rotation. Interestingly enough, though, Cole Hamels in the postseason a good amount has come in relief and closed out games. I think he was the closer for the World Series. Or one of the World. No, he wasn't. He came in relief a couple times, though. And did like the Kershaws and Lincecum type of thing where they come in and do all
right.
That.
Lester.
Exactly, yeah. Those type of things. So, I mean, he has experience with that in postseason games, so that's good to know. I mean, clearly Cole Hamels at 34, he's not holding back much in the tank at this point. But yeah, I mean, that's an option. But beyond that, I mean, Montgomery he fits so well. He's so versatile. I know he wants to be a starter. He deserves to be a starter. But if this were to come in a situation where Chatwood does maybe pull himself together a little bit, I think you got to at least try Montgomery in the bullpen as a swing role or whatnot. It could be like Andrew Miller was used, like the Cleveland Indians used him in like the fifth, sixth, and seventh inning sometimes because they had so many closing options. So I don't know. I could see the Cubs wanting to add another closer type at the back end just to give them some insurance with Morrow and to make sure that Pedro Strop doesn't have to close a bunch of games and they don't have to rely on Justin Wilson or CJ Edwards, who are just good but not always super reliable outside of Pedro is very reliable. Strope is my boy. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with that. Anything else you want to say here before we jump to the third segment?
Nope, don't think so. All
right, cool. All right, so today the Cubs will be facing the St. Louis Cardinals. I almost said the Arizona Cardinals. Got football in the brain, man.
Dude, training camp is underway. I know. I'm stoked. We're not... Check out our friends at Locked On Bears.
Yeah,
by the
definitely.
Way.
But yeah, I'm not. I'm excited, but we're talking baseball, I guess. So of course, like I said, Ryan Davis, my co-host, and I guess Locked On Cubs aficionado, person, man, whatever you want to call him, he'll be at the games this weekend for St. Louis, or for the Cubs at St. Louis. For today's game, of course, it is Mike Montgomery against Luke Weaver. Montgomery, as we've been talking about, has been pretty solid in this rotation. He's kind of slowed down a little bit. He had an ERA of like 1.7 something or whatever at one point about a month ago. He's kind of
His ERA is at 3.73. Luke Weaver has been beat up, though, in his last couple games. The Cubs tagged him for 3 runs on 7 hits in the last start. Give up 8 runs against Atlanta only a couple weeks ago. His ERA has been inflated close to 5. Cardinals are a team that are scuffling right now. They just dropped a series to...
The Pirates leapfrogged them with that crazy win streak.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the Pirates have been fantastic. They're on an insane win streak. The Cardinals just dropped a series to Cincinnati, if that tells you how things went. And they had to win the one game against Cincinnati in extra innings. So, just not good. St. Louis is kind of falling apart. They had Matt Carpenter basically take them and shellack the crap out of the Cubs for 2 games, but clearly that was bad. But they're just not good. They're not very good. They're kind of showing right now that they're a team that probably deserves to be 8.5-9 games back where they are in the division here. But of course, it's always fun when we get to go beat up on St. Louis. What are you feeling like this weekend, Pac? You feel like a sweep is it happening?
Yeah, obviously that's what I'm looking for this weekend, is to get this sweep down in St. Louis. And, I mean, maybe that's all that is needed to really just put the Cardinals to bed. I mean, obviously it's not like in the next 72 hours they're going to give up and say, all right, well, we're going to turn into seller mode right before the deadline and give up on the season. They're 500. They're, as you said, whatever it is, like eight or so games out of first right now. The NL across the board isn't that good.
No.
So, like, you know, if they don't win the NL Central, they can still certainly be in the hunt for a wild card spot, just because the National League is kind of weak this season. But that being the case, still, like, the goal for the Cubs has got to be sweeping this and really putting a stranglehold on that lead in the division. They've gotten some help from a little bit of a slump from the Brewers recently. Yeah. I think it's what like a 2.5 game lead right now.
That's correct.
But the Brewers just picked up a win against the Giants yesterday. You gotta get these 3 games if you can.
Yeah, I agree. I think sweeping the Cardinals would be fantastic for the Cubs. It probably guarantees them at least another game over Milwaukee. They'll probably bump one up. And then, of course, like Cincinnati's at 15.5, St. Louis at 9, Pittsburgh at 8, Milwaukee 2.5 back. Pushing St. Louis 3 games back would probably end their season. Like, I would not – I mean, it's ridiculous that
– Yeah, right?
I don't know if – I don't know if they would turn into sellers, but they should. Like, if that happens, like, just give up. Sell the pieces you got. I know I just saw they were releasing Greg Holland, which isn't surprising. Bud Norris has turned into a decent closer, even though he's kind of an asshole. But we don't have to get into that. For the
like Josh Hader levels of asshole?
He's
or?
Not – that bad, but he's like a little ignorant and kind of a dick about it. But anyways, like I was saying here, the NL Central standings go as this right now. Cubs 16-42. They of course lead the division here. Milwaukee at 59-46 are 2.5 games behind the Cubs. Pittsburgh at 53-51 have leapfrogged the Cardinals and now have a 2-game lead over them, which is nuts. They're 8 games back. St. Louis 51-51. They're back at 500. They're 9 games back. And then Cincinnati, who was on a tear for a little bit, has regulated back to the cellar at 45-58, 15.5 games back. Not good. We said it a couple times in the last podcast, but Seattle, Oakland, and New York would all have the best records in the National League and are currently in second, third, and second place in their standings right now for their division.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Now you know how those Western Conference NBA teams feel when they're missing the playoffs. You know, it's 5 or 6 games over 500, and the East teams are like, hey, we made the playoffs. Maybe, at 40-42. Good for us.
Elite. Taking a look at some of the pitchers the Cubs have solid slash lines against here for the Cardinals. Greg Holland, the Cubs hit the crap out of him, so maybe that's why they decided to let him go here a little bit. But looking at the rest of this rotation, Bud Norris, actually, their closer, the Cubs don't have a batter that hits less than 330 against him, which is fantastic news. So if the Cubs have to go into a late inning game situation, might be able to come out on top. So we'll see. But beyond that, it's a good series. Like I said, you can follow Ryan Davis there. He's at Ryan Q Davis. He'll be covering the games for NBC Sports, all three of them this weekend. I've heard he's got set up with a swanky hotel he's very excited about. So I don't know if you heard, Peck. He's filling in from time to time for Tony and Draghi for NBC Sports. So
that's awesome. So we'll be. I mean, not as awesome as being best friends with Nick Offerman, but that's pretty awesome. Have you addressed that on the podcast yet? I just
I have
to make
not
sure.
Actually. Those,
hey, what's up, Cubs fans? Yeah, Sean apparently is best friends with Nick Offerman now.
I'm not. Nick Offerman was singing the seventh inning stretch this Monday at the game I was covering for NBC. The Cubs photographer caught a picture of me basically taking a video of Nick Offerman, and I saw myself in the picture. And I was like, oh, it's me. And I circled myself on my phone and posted it and just said, me with my best friend, Nick Offerman, and tagged Nick Offerman in it. A couple hours later, he quote tweets me and says, it was nice to stand near you again too, Sean. And we instantly became best friends. And now he's coming over to my house for dinner. And Megan Mullally is coming with him. And we're all just going to be best friends. So that's great.
Get him on the pod, man. Get him on the
pod. We'll see what we can do. All right, Cubs fans. Well, we appreciate you listening here. This will be the last episode for the week. You'll be able to catch us on Monday. Both Ryan and I believe Ryan should be there, as long as he's not too jet-lagged. Otherwise, maybe we get Matt back on the show. If you are not listening to the Lockdown Bulls podcast, you are making a huge mistake. Peck and Jordan Malley do a fantastic job. They're having an excellent episode coming on today. Peck, shout out the Twitter handles for you and Jordan.
Yeah, it's at Jordan C. Malley for my co-host Jordan Malley, and it's at Bulls underscore Peck for me, and at Locked On Bulls.
So check it out there. You can listen to the podcast pretty much wherever podcasts are available. Beyond that, thanks for tuning in, Cubs fans, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.